Welcome to Author Voices On Air, and I'm your host, Rick Bell. Hegemony is a political suspense thriller with blood, sweat, and depictions of reality in Swedish society and beyond. And here to tell us more is the author, Elisabeth Frido Bolin. Now, this book has attracted some controversy in your home country. How did you come to write the book? And what was your motivation?
Well, Rick, first, let me quote a phrase I wrote somewhere in the book. Quote, the danger is clear and present, unquote. The barbarians are upon us because the steady process of dilution and eventual obliteration of Judo-Christian Europe has been ignored and belied about for a long time. This is my urgent message to everyone, especially to those who wield political power, who are boundless in their appeasement to Islam. They have flung the doors open for it to creep in and threaten the 2,000-year-old cultural heritage and identity of Sweden and of Judo-Christian Europe as a whole, where upon her bosom had emerged the highest universal values of humankind, namely freedom, liberty, the role of law, human rights, equality, and the flourishing of the arts and sciences. Instead of writing an academic essay or book to put that message across society, I decided to write a political thriller that depicts the reality in Swedish society. Her Islamization at the hand of politicians and mainstream ultra-liberal mass media. I believe this would serve as a more powerful medium to communicate. The book, Hegemony, is meant to anchor debates and discourse, which may ignite firestorms of controversy, but nonetheless would prove the mettle of policies like multiculturalism, relativism, and political correctness, upon which the issue on the massive influx of Muslims into Judo-Christian Europe and Sweden in particular threatens her highly civilized culture.
Now, when you were writing the book, you obviously had a particular audience or readership in mind. Who would you say the book appeals to and why?
Well, Rick, the book Hegemony is for everyone to read, and with good reasons. First, the genre of the book, Hegemony, it is a political suspense thriller that by its title alone would beckon curiosity at first glimpse, and at closer look into the first pages would ignite interest for everyone, lay readers, politicians, and media people. Further, the well-researched doctoral thesis at Oxford University would be the stuff of scrutiny among academics and intellectuals. My purpose in injecting a cursory but theoretically strong PhD thesis is to validate the theme and plot of the novel. However, the reader is informed and forewarned in every first page of the book that he or she can skip the 41 pages of the PhD thesis on chapter 4 without losing track of the thriller in the story. The plot is contemporary. The book was published in November 2013, way ahead of the diplomatic row between Sweden and Saudi Arabia that exploded only 3 weeks ago. Saudi Arabia was very angry and recalled its ambassador to Stockholm, and the fallout between these two kingdoms continues to this day. The political thriller in the book is intense and streamlined with an unsuspecting happenstance that quickly unfolds into the most unimaginable scheme for terror, from Stockholm to Brussels and Oxford, from the grounds of the European Parliament in Brussels to the skies across continents, involving top politicians of powerful states, I believe would hold the breath of the reader and interest as well. The theme is the Islamization of Sweden, with the influx of massive Muslims seeking sanctuary in this peaceful, prosperous society. But they have made this country now with a lot of problems, and I could say at the final analysis that the hand that feeds the hungry is devoured.
You've told us a lot about the book and about the story and the meaning and so on, but what is the one thing you want readers to learn or take away from this work?
Well, it's simple. Primarily, it is the knowledge that on the edict of secularism, separating the twin bedrocks of European nationhood, church and state, the readers, however, should not forget that both entities, church and state, still cohabit under the same roof of a cultural heritage that has lasted for more than 2,000 years, upon whose bosom had emerged the highest universal values of humankind. Now these two entities have become unequal partners, where the state is aggressively pushing the church to her grave. Further, it is to understand the meaning of hegemony, a concept that focuses on the element of power in leadership. In my book, it is the hegemony of the word in argument, in debate, in discourse, and not the sword like in Islam. The word, the hegemony of the word, should prevail and leads the way to find a solution. In the book, it is here where the young police superintendent will use this method to solve the puzzle of the master plan for terror. Hegemony of the word is a fundamental element of power that is disastrously missing in Islamic culture. Hence, the predilection of Muslims to use brute force and violence. Witness today the violent, endless convulsions in the Islamic world is spilling again now, even worse, spilling over to Europe. Discourse, question and answer, occupies a void in the Islamic mind. Hence, Islamic culture is implacably endless convulsions in the Islamic world. Discourse occupies a void or emptiness in the Islamic mind. Hence, Islamic culture is implacably at odds with Judeo-Christendom. The massive influx of Muslims in Judeo-Christian Europe and in Sweden, 2014 alone, 90,000 Muslims came to Sweden, and more are coming this year, who fanatically cling to their Islamic ideology, never integrate into the society that gave them sanctuary, and respect the identity, the Judeo-Christian identity of this country, because of the multi-culti mania and policy enforced by politicians, could only spell out disaster. Mother Sweya is the emblem or the personification of Swedish nationhood, is forced to commit suicide, carrying with her to the grave her glorious cultural heritage. Sweden, or Europe as a whole, is heading toward a cataclysm. And furthermore, Rick, in the book, I introduce the role of the phantom state. The phantom state comes to the fore. In the immensity of a historical change, reaching critical juncture across the European continent, where political leaders have proven to be castrated vision and wisdom who could assume that mantle of hegemonic role. The phantom state, but who is it? Who is the phantom state? Where is it? It is all in the book.
Now tell us briefly a little bit more about the particular scenes and characters in the book. Just really give us a flavor of what's happening.
Okay. The scenes, first of all, the span of the story is 10 days from the 13th to the 22nd of December. In the first edition of the book, I put the year 2014 in an extraordinarily cold Swedish winter. All in the midst of the Nobel Prize Award ceremony at the Stockholm Concert House on the 13th of December, presided over by the Swedish Crown Princess, because her father, the king who usually do this, is in comatose. Successive events happen as follows. In the morning, a Saudi Arabian royal entourage headed by Prince Farid, a former classmate of the Swedish Crown Princess in Harvard, arrived to Stockholm. He has three missions. He is guest of honor at the Nobel Prize Award ceremony. Second, sign the Just Gripen fighter plane agreement between Saudi Arabia and Sweden, negotiated by politicians. Immediately depart thereafter for Brussels to address the European Parliament on the issue of Turkey's membership to the EU. But a few hours before the Nobel Prize Award ceremony, the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Stockholm is mysteriously murdered. Beside him, in a nearby place, a Swedish prostitute is beheaded. Then, a master plan for terror encoded in a micro SD memory card brought to Stockholm by the Saudi Arabian royal entourage went missing, prompting the crown princess to think sinister forces have raised an upper hand. The venue of the political thriller is central Stockholm, the district of Östermalm, which is known to be the enclave of the rich, powerful, and famous people. The diplomat city, Rosenbad, which is the office of the government, the royal palace, and reaching, expanding out to the European Parliament in Brussels and Oxford University. Now, concerning characters, I have created three young people to carry the theme and plot of the thriller suspense. First, the crown princess, the Swedish crown princess, who is a characterization of the legendary 17th century Queen Christina I of Sweden. She is historically known to be the prime mover of the peace treaty of Westphalia in the year 1648, which ended the 30-year-old war in Europe. And from there, in that treaty, conveyed and headed by the Queen of Sweden at that time, she created sovereign and independent nation states. I repeat, sovereign and independent nation states, from where the prosperity and peace for future generations among Europeans had been created or had emerged. But today, the European Union has become a monster devouring these independent sovereign nation states one by one. It's very sad. The second character is a young woman, Isabel Blanche Defort. She is the PhD candidate whose doctoral thesis she is about to defend at Stockholm University. She became suddenly the target of cloak and dagger contentions of shadowy figures or terrorists, haunted herself by a personal tragedy on the circumstances surrounding the death of her father. She decided to confront the shadowy figures. So twists and turns of unexpected events converge into the political thriller element of the story. Third is the new fight Police Superintendent Robert von Ramm, who suddenly tasked with the monumental responsibility of solving the puzzle of the missing micro SD memory card, the Östermalm crime mystery. Having no material or forensic evidence to lead him, he desperately clings to the sophisticated and elegant Socratic method in intellectual discourse to help him solve the puzzle, using the hegemony of the word. The word would lead him to solve the problem. But would he? That is the question.
Listening to you describing the characters and the story, it certainly grabs the imagination. But how would you say this book differs from others on similar topics? And what sets it apart from the crowd?
First of all, the book's literary style, the pace and tone of the story in a political thriller genre is one of its kind. It is unique, I think. In simple storytelling by an omniscient protagonist, the author herself, assuming a different name in the novel, Elisabeth von Schlossenberg, begins with a well-researched thesis at Oxford University to convey the theme and plot of a political suspense novel thriller, depicting the current situation on the steady process of Islamization in Sweden and almost all European countries. The doctoral thesis, Rick, has two roles in the novel. One is intellectual because the findings of the research work at Oxford University validate the theme of the novel, which is the Islamization process of Sweden and beyond. It is actual. It is an undergoing phenomenon based on the multiculturalism mania of politically correct behaving politicians. Two is the physical role of the book printed copy of the PhD thesis upon which the suspense thriller plot of the story is wrapped up. So the political, the suspense thriller wraps around the PhD book itself, because if you read the book, you may ask, why are the shadowy figures or the terrorists? Why are they stalking Isabel, attempting to grab her book, her PhD thesis, and they try to kill her? Does the book, her PhD thesis, have something to do with what she has written, or it has something to do with the micro SD memory card that burst the master plan for terror that went missing? The element of surprise constantly shadows the plot in the novel, and time is of the essence. How will the Östermalm crime mystery, the case of the missing micro SD memory card, be discovered to avert the terror that is hovering over the heads of states in Brussels? Again, this is where the hegemony or leadership of the word and not the sword is applied. Who shall prevail in a mental battle between two protagonists in the novel, one in Stockholm, the other in Oxford, for control of the instrument of terror, the micro SD memory card, while the minutes and seconds are ticking away on the lives of heads of states?
Now, if I was to ask you to choose just three words that you would select to best describe your book to our listeners, what would those three words be?
Are you telling three words to describe the story and characters?
That's correct. I'll ask that question again just for editing purposes. Give me three words that you would choose to best describe this book to our listeners.
Three words? Well, it's gripping, wake-up call, actual.
Now, when you're writing the book, it must have taken a lot of research and a lot of understanding in the world of politics. What did you find the most challenging, the most rewarding, and if I dare say it, the most fun part of writing this book?
Well, surmounting the widespread attitude or behavior of political correctness, promoting a one-dimensional policy of multiculturalism was a challenging quest. The reality on the advance of Islamization of Sweden or Judo-Christian Europe is stomach-wrenching, especially when Muslims, massive Muslims, wreak havoc, terrorize people, destroy and turn beautiful, peaceful suburbs of Stockholm into dirty, crime-infested ghettos. Yet still, our political leaders are repeating loudly, Islam is a religion of peace. Many people like me disagree. The base core of culture is religion that in turn shapes the mentality of people, establishes their customs, traditions, and most of all, national identity. A country without an identity is like a body without a head. Well, actually, chapter one in the book, that is the title of chapter one, A Body Without a Head. But alas, it looks like the more terror Muslims inflict on others like Jews and Christians, the more they are welcome to Sweden. And later on, they attempt to dominate. This evoke a feeling of pessimism and despair that controlling my anger became the most challenging part during the writing period. And yet, as I further labored to bring the findings of my research in Oxford into conclusion, when I returned to Stockholm to write the political thriller story, I came to know that so many people, the silent crowd, have welcomed my work with their loving support and encouragement.
Thank you. Now, is there anything that we haven't covered here today that you feel is important for people to know about your book and the story?
Well, yes, three terms. One is the word racism. This word has become so misunderstood and used conveniently as mantra by politically correct politicians, mass media, and Islamist terrorists to silence people who would raise the issue on the Islamization of Judo-Christian West. Islam, Rick, is not a race, but a totalitarian ideology that has remained unchanged since its inception during the 7th century. The Islamists invoke their freedom of expression, while others, other side of the equation, is forbidden to exercise the same right. Two, Islamophobia. The attempt to equate Islamophobia with anti-Semitism is wrong. Islamophobia is different. If I, for example, were Islamophobic, it is with good reasons. First, 9/11, the 7/11 bombing of the subways in London, the terrorists, convicted terrorists, Al-Qaeda preaching hatred and deaths to Jews and Christians in the streets of London while the police are watching aside, the Madrid subway bombing, Boston Marathon bombing, killings of Christians and burning down of churches, and many more. Anti-Semitism is hatred and discriminations against Jews just because they are Jews, but Islamophobia is fear of Islam and Muslims because of the violent nature of their ideology. And thirdly, human rights. The laws on human rights have now become misinterpreted and applied so much so that the benefits and protection of the law have been given to the criminals and terrorists. What about their victims? And lastly, rape. If I may say, all the characters mentioned in the book will converge at the end of the story to deal with the puzzle of the missing micro SD memory card, with two protagonists, one in Stockholm, the other in Oxford, in a bitter mental struggle for control of the instrument for terror. The question is, who shall prevail? Let's go back again to discussing and understanding the meaning of hegemony and its leadership, the leadership, the strength of the word to argue and find a solution, and not through violence.
I'm sitting here listening to you explaining the book, the characters, the place where everything's happened, and I have to say, unquestionably, that it lends itself to a sequel. Do you have any plans for a follow-up book?
Well, Rick, when I was writing the book, my husband actually advised me suddenly, why don't you suspend the trailer is solved at the end of the story. But one ambassador I met who read the book said he had another conclusion. His analysis that this person was saved. Another professor I met had another conclusion. The mystery of the missing micro SD memory card has been solved, but people have different conclusions. So it calls for a sequel of the book. And this time I go back to the Swedish society, where the Islamization process is getting worse day by day. I will write a sequel. I have already structured everything in my mind, and I will return to Oxford because there I am intellectually inspired. But the sequel, again, I would return to Stockholm and go to Brussels, because the venue of the sequel, again, will be the same.
And once again, many thanks to my guest today, the author Elizabeth Ferrido-Bolin, who joined us to talk about her new book, Hegemony, which is published by Ex Libris and is available direct from the publisher at www.exlibrispublishing.co.uk and all good bookstockers. This is Rick Bell for Talking It Radio. Thank you for listening.